John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
You know, every now and then we do hear from John Cobell with a text, and what he sent today, he doesn't send too many. He's a typical older male that doesn't deal with the communicating. Here's what the Swiss suicide pod looks like. It's a photograph. What is that? Is that an actual pod or is that a drawing? I can't tell.
No, that's the actual Swiss suicide pod.
It looks very futuristic, like a little space capsule, which is on top of a little landing, but it's all angled. So I guess you can lie on your back and kind of face the sun if you wanted to die in a field.
Yes, they took a photo of it in a field with the sky backdrop.
Right.
Blue skies and clouds, a mix.
In case you don't know this story, apparently some Australian guy developed this, and I guess a Swiss medical board has approved its use in that country, Switzerland, a suicide pod where allegedly you have your choice of how you want to die in there, right? With gases or whatever.
Yeah. You could.
How many ways could it kill you when you're lying in a pod?
No, I think I read another article today. I'd have to find it, but you have your choice of gases.
Ones that, you'd want one that's kind of like easy and quiet, right? You wouldn't want choking.
You go to the business, and it's like a clinic, and you pay money, and then they let you have use of the pod, and you can tow it. And so you can take it out to the beach, you can take it to the park, and it is this, it looks like, it's like a red bottom, almost looks like the bottom half of a canoe.
Yeah.
And you lay back.
It looks like a little tiny space escape pod capsule. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then it's placed
on top of the landing.
You close the top, and then you just pull a lever, and that releases the gas. And I think in 30 seconds, you're done.
It looks like you lie down. It's kind of angled for a body to lie in, almost like a hammock. And it's got something like a shelf there on the side where you can put your belongings, whatever else you want with you when you... You know, but they don't bury you in that. I mean, the pod is reused, right?
Yeah, I guess so. It has windows, so at that top part, you can see through it.
Yeah, so you could look out at the sky. Like I said, you could lie back and look out at the sky. If that's the last thing you want to see before you press the gas button, then you can go quietly, and you can have kind of a serene view as you go. Maybe you want to be on a mountaintop or...
In fact, the pod, it says, and this is, I guess, one of the guys, the inventor, Phil Nitschke of Exit International. Exit International. What a great name for his company, huh? He says the machine can be towed anywhere. It can be in an idyllic outdoor setting or in the premises of an assisted suicide organization, for example. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, and imagine you're going on a hike, you know, somewhere, and someone's chosen the trail that you or the little setting that you enjoy to set up their suicide pod. You come upon that, or...
I think it would just be so lonely, though. You'd be by yourself instead of having loved ones surround you your bedside.
Look, if you want to do that, you could put the pod in your home, yeah.
But the loved ones are going to get in the way. They're going to try to stop it.
No, not if you have a deal that you're going to take that concoction.
Right.
And
supportive loved ones who agree that maybe you have some horrible terminal illness.
Yeah,
that's tough to find, though, usually. I guess it's nitrogen. That's the choice. And it reduces the oxygen level from 21% to 1%.
Oh.
He says it's very comfortable. You'll feel disoriented or euphoric. Takes about 30 seconds. And death takes place through hypoxia and hypocapnia, which is oxygen and carbon dioxide deprivation. There's no panic. No.
Serene.
It used to be people in Switzerland would take...
Well, then why can't we execute killers like this?
Oh, of course we could.
Why don't we?
They used
to have a gas chamber, but they complained that was inhumane.
This looks really peaceful. I think we should get execution pods.
Yes. Let's get that on the ballot.
That makes me want to be governor.
Execution pods.
Executive order. We'd buy execution pods.
Would you give the inmate permission to position the pod wherever they wanted it so they could have that kind of serene
setting? Sure. If we can get this done fast, yeah, fine.
That's right. We can clear out death row quickly with pods. We'd need hundreds of pods.
We
can reuse them, like you said.
I'm not going to be a hard ass about this.
Let's put five guys into pods in one day.
Right.
Now, on the same subject, but we're taking a completely different turn with suicide, a listener sent this story from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. This story comes out of Santa Rosa. Apparently, police were investigating the discovery of a human skull, which was hidden in the bushes of a home in Santa Rosa. And they eventually concluded that the victim, the person whose head that was, Robert Anger, who was a homeowner, I can't believe this is true. He built a homemade guillotine and he committed suicide with it.
Oh, that's too much work.
He used a large metal spike instead of a sharp blade. But here's the twist, because I'm surprised you didn't ask this yet. No. Well, how did his head end up in the bushes outside the house?
Oh, well, how did his head end up in the bushes outside the house?
Well, after committing suicide, this is what their investigation led them to conclude. A vagrant moved in by the name of Robert Melvin Ross III, and he took the head and threw it out in the bushes.
I like this.
He eventually pled no contest to a felony charge. This is a new one to me. Possession of a memento of human remains.
Oh.
And then the next quote is a keeper from the DA. There's a lot of meth involved in this story. So the whole thing started when a woman working in the garden said she found a skull.
So how long ago did he do this?
Well, apparently the guy killed himself in March.
Oh, okay.
I don't know when this guy moved in and threw the head.
And he found the head?
Oh, no. The woman found the skull in March. So the suicide, I think, goes back a ways. Because they had to do a lot of detective work to find this guy that moved in.
So we don't know where the head was before the vagrant kicked it into the bushes?
Well, it was. I think he killed himself inside the house with the homemade guillotine.
Oh, okay.
And the vagrant came in, found the body, he decided that, I don't want to live here with this head in the house. I don't know what he did with the rest of the body.
So he just tossed the head.
Right. Apparently his home had been used after his death as a squatting place for people involved in the meth trade.
Nice neighborhood. Where was this?
Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa?
You're right. Anger was last seen alive July 2nd, 2019. So this could have happened then. He was 62 years old.
That's why there was only a skull.
It was a 20-foot tall guillotine he built in his house. Boy, there's a hobby. What are you doing in the basement, honey? Never mind.
Building a guillotine. I can't take you anymore. Oh, all right? I'm down here building a guillotine. I'm trying to get out of this.
So this guy Ross moves in, starts the meth trade, and I guess he discovered
what
the
body, neighborhood.
But he only threw the head out. He left the guy's remains. They found them there.
Oh, eventually. Really?
Oh, yeah. He left.
So
the
just
of the
head
body
freaked
the
him out.
I guess just the head. It was mostly decapitated. Wow. All right. When we come
what
back,
an uplifting set of stories there.
You started with your suicide pod picture.
That's easier than your homemade guillotine.
Right. Unvaccinateds with the L.A. Fire Department, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. It looks like it's going in two different directions. We'll explain coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Shampoo, KFI, AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, when it comes to the world of vaccine mandates, there has probably not been as much resistance as there's been from people who work in the emergency services field, police, fire, some people that are healthcare workers. Here's a couple of opposing chapters in these vaccine wars. Now, in the LA Fire Department, we do have a number of firefighters that, they didn't want to be vaccinated. So they sent out notices to 222 saying you're going to be sent home without pay unless you get the vaccine or you request an exemption. So another deadline has passed, and apparently 113 didn't respond to the notices. I might add, including, I guess, the firefighter who wiped his butt with the notice.
Yeah, I'd say that was a no. That was a no vote.
Yeah, I would say he did not respond unless he sent that paper in.
He got the notice. He wiped his apparently still unclean butt.
My butt, yes. Big butt.
And threw it on the floor.
The Times reporter said there was fecal matter on the paper that was witnessed by people that were allegedly there.
He should have done it on the LA Times.
So these people have been placed off duty without pay. They can use vacation hours or banked overtime to offset their wages. Now, again, They tried to sue. They tried to get a judge. But you know what the judge ruled? That apparently it's not going to be a big problem for the fire department. Because, you see, they have thousands of employees. And apparently they have a new recruit field. So for 113 to be put on leave, it's probably not going to have a significant impact on the department. That was kind of the feeling of the judge. There's 3,340 sworn L.A. fire department firefighters and paramedics.
So these guys really are going to go home over this and give up their... Because a lot of firefighters, that's been a dream of theirs since they were a little kid.
And that's probably why they have a class of 54 new recruits. There's usually quite a waiting list for people to become...
Yeah,
firefighters, there are guys that are really drawn to that. I say guys, but it is mostly guys that are drawn to that field, yeah.
And you go through a lot of training, and then you can retire young and get a great pension. Wow. I mean, if you're living your dream there, it's a good deal. And to give it up over a vaccine, I can't comprehend.
Although there is another side to that. In L.A., a lot of the calls could be dealing with the homeless. So.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that may drain you after years of, again, we got to go to two homeless guys fighting or some homeless guy bleeding or some homeless guy pooping.
Yeah, because they show up with the paramedics. Although they have a lot of homeless fires to put out. I mean, there's a lot more action.
That's true.
There's actually putting out fires.
Especially around the freeways, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other story, and kind of completely different. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department. The sheriff's deputies are asking a judge to declare that that dopey L.A. County Board of Supervisors does not have the legal authority to suspend or fire them for not getting vaccinated. Yes, see, the twist here is that the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, says he has no intention of enforcing the mandate that the Board of Supervisors put out for all L.A. County workers, which they said includes those who work in the sheriff's
department. Yeah, I remember we asked him about it when we had him on. Because he says he's not enforcing the rule, and can the supervisors do it?
They claim they can. This lawsuit is asking the judge to make it clear that they cannot. They're also looking for attorney's fees and costs associated with bringing the case to court.
So something like that's not clearly written out in the law?
You see, it's tricky because the sheriff is independently elected, as is the Board of Supervisors. However, they control his budget. So that's the part, but I don't know if they control his...
And they're county employees just like anybody else in the county.
Yes, technically they are, right.
Yeah.
Right. So the supervisors are going to say that... And I don't know how they would do this. I guess... Is there a way they can cut off the pay? I guess they
could. Well, it depends exactly how the law is written. And maybe the law is murky. Maybe... I don't know.
Yeah.
Uncharted territory. I don't think... We ever had a case before where law enforcement was going to get mandated to take, medical treatment, something forcibly injected into them.
Right. They say in their suit, the union, this is the union for the sheriff's deputies, that disciplinary power rests exclusively with the sheriff. And that would be Alex Villanueva. So they want this judge, I think, to assert that that's true so they can just move on with this. And not face any discipline or punishment for not being vaccinated.
I mean, that's a reasonable interpretation there.
It is.
Unless there's some other, like, health law which would override that.
Hmm.
Or maybe nobody ever wrote anything to address a situation like this.
I have a feeling that's the case.
Which often happens. There's nothing written, so.
Then if I was the judge, I'd say in the absence of that, the sheriff does have disciplinary control.
Right. Because the law has to say explicitly that you have the right or you don't have the right. And if it doesn't say so, then you don't have the right.
Yeah, because when you consider when the sheriff's deputies are disciplined for, behavior on the job or whatever, or they drive drunk, or that's up to the sheriff, right, to punish them. So why would this be any different? Although the supervisors will say, since we impose the mandate, can impose the punishment.
It's their health emergency.
Yes. It'd be interesting to see how this plays out, particularly since
without knowing how all the various subsections of the law are written.
I know, right? All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Shampoo. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, the Moist line's coming back in just a few days already. 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We'll be talking about that LA Unified School District story where a parent claims that her 13-year-old child was vaccinated without her knowledge or permission, bribed with pizza. We'll be talking about with the attorney for the family coming up after the news at 4 o'clock. Cal Matters did a story on something we've talked on and off about a lot over the last year. Basically, whether or not math is racist. Yeah. I know it sounds silly.
Yeah, but
for the people that are obsessed with equity, that's been the key word, especially during the pandemic, equity, by Governor Newsom, equity. They believe that because black and brown students don't do as well as white and Asian students at math, there must be something racist about the math.
Yeah. The trouble is with the math. The trouble is with, 2 + 4 = 6. So think about that.
Well, I don't think it's that basic, but this story is talking about algebra. But
yeah, but they
complicated
they,
than 2
they,
plus 2.
But they have, but yeah, but the kids are having trouble even in the younger grades. There are, when they do proficiency tests, long before they get to the algebra grade, the minority kids are falling behind.
Right.
And I don't think it's the math.
No, I mean, that's the world we live in now, though.
Well, I know.
But if things aren't equal, there must be racism behind it.
Yeah, I know.
That's how they judge everything.
The thing is, ultimately,
if there aren't enough people of black and brown color in a certain employment field, that's got to be racism. Well, everything's got to be racism.
All right, so we're going through this spasm where everybody's screaming racism, but it's not going to lead anywhere. There's no other way to teach math.
Right.
Unless you give them good grades no matter what the answer is. Now, you can delve into why they're not doing well, but it's other answers than racism. Math is pure. It is simply the logical conclusion of something tangible. If you have, two apples and you add 4 apples, the number we use to describe what you have is 6. I don't know how else to get around that, or multiplication, or division, or any of those things.
A reporter by the name of Joe Hong took a crack at it with a headline: "Controversial math guidelines have had mixed results at, of course, San Francisco Unified." Here's what happened: the San Francisco Unified School District is requiring students to wait until they get to 9th grade to take Algebra 1. And when you look at that, that's the topic we've talked about before. The advanced kids are being told you can't take any algebra till you get to 9th grade.
See, that's
the parents
wrong.
Of some of these kids are upset because they're like, well, my kid's ready to take it in 8th grade. Why not?
Well, see, the only way to slightly and only slightly equalize the scores is you hold back the gifted kids. Now, that's wrong. And to me, that's immoral not to allow children to progress at their full capacity. And, a lot of parents are just going to say, not playing this game. And they're going to send their kids to a charter school or a private school or Catholic school, whatever. I mean, I wouldn't play this game. If my kid was really bright in math, he's not sitting around for a year or two waiting for their social experiment to unfold. He's only got one. Every kid only has one period of development. You can't screw with it. They already did that with the 16 months of the lockdown. And now we're seeing that all the testing scores are way off. And the minority kids are doing far worse than the white kids. Well, so it's already a busted experiment. Like Zoom school is a busted experiment. This nonsense doesn't work.
So back in 2014, they discovered that the number of black, Latino, and low-income students were failing Algebra 1 in 8th grade at too high a rate. So the goal was to get these students into higher level math classes and eventually to careers in science, tech, engineering, or math. Well, the change succeeded at reducing the number of students failing courses, but has coincided bizarrely with a drop in test scores at some schools that are serving the higher need students. And what also is happening is the parents of some of the kids that have been denied the algebra class until 9th grade are paying to put their kids in private classes to take algebra, say during the summer. Right.
Yeah. No, that's
Rex Ridgway is one who did this. That's absolutely what you do. He paid $850 to enroll his daughter in an Algebra 1 class during the summer after eighth grade.
Your child isn't on the planet to be the guinea pig for their social experiments. You have no obligation to go along with this because eventually this will pass. I remember years ago, you remember, what was that? What was that whole language fiasco? Remember years ago, they weren't going to teach phonics anymore in the Los Angeles Unified School District? This lasted for a few years where kids were supposed to look at pictures of the word and guess what the word would sound like. Some nonsense like that. It was a complete failure. And that's what's going to happen here. They're going to realize all they've done is hurt the kids, the high achievers. And the high achievers are going to just take algebra tutors at nights, on nights and weekends, or leave the school entirely. No parent is going to, if they got a high-achieving kid, is going to sit around and let this happen. That's criminal. That's child abuse.
So they saw some slight increases in math test scores for students, particularly Black and Latino students. But apparently the gap between the percentage of low-income students and percentage of students district-wide actually grew by 2 points. So that's why they're saying there was kind of mixed results with this experiment. But they want to bring this to the whole state now.
That's disastrous. Then, you know, if you're in one of those school districts that adopts this nonsense, you got to get your kid out of that. You do. You have to prepare. If they're going to stick with this nonsense, besides, slight increases aren't worth anything. If you're way down near the bottom in the scores, having a 2% increase, who cares? That's statistical randomness.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything.
It's delaying Algebra 1 is one of the core ideas recommended by California's proposed math framework. But it says in the story that the school districts don't have to adopt it. It's just a framework. It's non-binding guidelines for math instruction.
I have never understood, if a kid can handle this in sixth grade, why can't he do it in sixth grade? If he can't do it till 10th grade, then he does it in 10th grade. I don't understand the sausage factory nature of school. When I was in school, I never understood it. Right. It's like, if I can do this, why can't I do this now? I got to sit around and wait for this dud next to me? Why do I have to wait for him? I'm not on the planet to wait for him.
Well, to
figure it out.
To the progressive ideology of there's no such thing as individualism.
Well, it's stupid.
And self-responsibility. We are a team.
It's fantasy. It doesn't exist. It's fantasy. You cannot live your life that way. It's an impossible idea. It's ridiculous. These are cartoon people who think this way. It's not even worth debating. It's just, if your school has this stuff, get out.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
You intend to die by a jury of your peers? The electricity shall not be passed through your body until you are dead.
An update from the John and Ken Execution Desk. Here's John and Ken.
John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I was enjoying. I remember that was like the Eyewitness News theme back east when I used to watch some of the TV stations. That was the music, right?
Yeah, that was. The whole chain, I think.
It was the whole chain. It did give you the feeling of something exciting was coming, right?
Yeah. If you'd watched.
Well, I think this is pretty damn interesting story from the execution desk. It seems like whenever we do these in the last year, there's some kind of twist involved. Now, a month ago, Mississippi executed a man by the name of David Neil Cox. He killed his wife. It was a estranged wife. And the reason that this story, and by the way, he apparently waived like all his appeals. He was ready to go. He killed her in 2010, and he's dead in the year 2021. So that's not bad for Mississippi. We'll get into their record of executions in a moment. But what came to light this week, and I guess they waited because they wanted to sort of pull together the details. You know how people have, I guess, last words before they go in the execution chamber?
Yeah.
Well, David Neil Cox, is part of his last words were, "I killed somebody else too, and you never charged me with it." Like, who? Oh, my sister-in-law. Felicia Cox in the year 2007. So 3 years before he killed his wife, he killed his sister-in-law. And now the search is on for her body. Now, he had long been a suspect, but they could never put together a case against him. And again, some of that has to probably do with the fact that you don't have a body. You often don't have a case.
Yeah. But you don't get two dead family members.
You're right. After the ex-wife died.
Right. It's obvious we have a pattern here.
Well, he did not disclose, I guess, as he was fading. I don't know when this happened, when he confessed to this. Was he already injected, or is this before he was injected? But he didn't give a location other than to say it was in a place called Pontotoc County in Mississippi. And that's where she was last seen. So they're going to do all they can with archaeology and anthropology experts to assist if they can find the remains.
Well, her a county members, is way too big.
Generally, yes.
And that's where she was last seen, so they probably already investigated that area. I mean, if he went out in the woods and dug a hole years and years ago, it was 2007.
Yeah, as like I said, it was 3 years before he killed the estranged wife. Felicia Cox was 40 years old. She was last seen July 2007 visiting her sister-in-law, Kim Kirk Cox, in Pontotoc. And Kim Kirk Cox was later killed in May of 2010 by this guy. They executed David Deal Cox.
So he killed both sisters, his wife and his wife's sister.
That's right. That would be his sister-in-law, his former sister-in-law. Yes.
Yeah.
This is the first execution in Mississippi in 9 years. They would think they would be a little more aggressive, like some southern states are, Texas.
And they probably had a lot of sick murderers in Mississippi with that genetic pool.
Well, I mean, here's kind of the shocker. Do you remember the last estimate of how many inmates are on death row in California? There's only 30 on death row in Mississippi. There's only 30 people on death row. I mean, we have hundreds.
We had almost 750.
Yeah, I know. We're a much bigger state, but still, I think that's proportionally way larger.
Yeah. We had a very death penalty-oriented jury pool. Always have been a big death penalty state. I mean, every proposition we've had, and there's been quite a few, has come on the side of let's kill them and let's kill them quicker.
Yeah, it gets narrower every time we vote on this, but yes, the people are still approving.
The majorities have held.
Well, I was surprised. How many years ago was that when we passed the one to speed up the executions?
Yeah.
By speeding up the appeals process. But that, of course, has landed in another pit. Before his execution, he abandoned all appeals. He actually declared himself worthy of death.
Wish more people would do that.
He sent a handwritten statement strongly objecting to something called the Office of Capital Post-Conviction Counsel representing him. He didn't want their help.
Oh, he didn't want all the weasel attorneys who would come up with fake arguments as to why he shouldn't die.
Right.
Good. He had some integrity.
So
he wasn't going to listen to his attorneys lie about him in the case.
He pled guilty to his wife's murder, his ex-wife, estranged wife, I guess, almost immediately in 2012. And then he also pled guilty to sex assault charges, and they gave him the death sentence. Now, so I guess I was kind of wrong in guessing this was not a death chamber confession. Apparently, before he was executed in late October, he made the disclosure about his sister-in-law to his attorneys. But what he did do was waive his attorney-client privilege after death so they could give that information out.
He also sexually assaulted his stepdaughter.
Oh, that's the sex assault case.
The woman he married, Kim, had a daughter named Lindsay. And Lindsay said that the stepdad terrorized the family and sexually assaulted her.
No.
So he was a monster.
That's disgusting.
Oh, good. He's dead now.
Yeah. At least one state has it right.
So happy news.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to an attorney by the name of Nicole Pearson. She represents a woman by the name of Maribel Duarte. And this is the mom who says her teenage son was vaccinated in exchange for pizza at an LA Unified School District school without her consent. She's so worked up about it, she does have an attorney. We'll talk to her next.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark. has the news. KFI AM 640.